I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Rulan Tangen. She is founding director and choreographer of Dancing Earth. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. You do amazing work. You do a kind of dance that is so, I don't know how to say this, but like multicultural in a really genuine way. You're bringing all kinds of people together to dance and choreograph. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, this is our 10th anniversary, and it was actually, I would describe it as Dancing Earth going global, because in our Dancing Earth touring, which we've gone as far as New Zealand and Canada, and on my own with my teaching, I go to the corners of the earth to meet with indigenous communities and share dance. And at every place I go, I run into one outstanding either teacher or student or colleague artist, and they decided that they were going to seek funding from their government's arts councils because of the importance of the work that we're doing here in Santa Fe, to come in, to get their travel and come in so they could create these, I'm calling them seed solos, although there's no such thing as a solo because we are in an interdependent world. And so the theme is about seeds, plants, roots, and foods. And that's what we've come together to do. I think it's one of the crucial themes of our time that, you know, a lot of people here are tuned into that. You know, you can see the excitement of the farmers market, people really getting into the local and organic food. And water is a part of that. We've been doing several years of water dances, and the water is, of course, a part of seeds, plants, and foods.
I love the idea that there's no solo anymore. It really flies in the face of the sort of 19th and 20th century concepts of what an artist is, first of all.
Absolutely. I think when we're creating our dances, we're looking at indigenous consciousness at every level of contribution, artistic contribution. So each artist in their 12 countries that they came from and their First Nations across the U.S., our research, our development began before we even gathered here. Everybody was going back to their teachings from their elders or from the land itself about the most crucial food and seed and plant themes from their areas, and bringing that forward. So in that sense, there was a solo, it's like seed saving. Everyone came with their seeds. And I am less interested in like, oh, we are all the same. I was more interested in, we are each very different, bringing very different perspectives and knowledge, and we can stand in solidarity and understanding and love with each other without having to be the same. So my challenge as a director is to keep this diversity and to look at how we weave it together. So one person might be in the center doing a dance about the trees, for example, up in Canada, and how the pollution is changing the ecosystem for the trees. And along the edges, there might be people who are the little rooting trees that are. So we're supporting each other. There's a planter that's planting seeds, and then we're becoming the corn, beans, and squash behind, or you know, things like that.
It sounds like an ecosystem or permaculture or something like that.
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of our cultural advisors, besides the native cultural advisors, are people that work in permaculture, which of course is strongly influenced by Native American philosophy, whether credited or not, and an ecosystem. That you're exactly onto it. That's what we're looking to create, or that's where we are in. We're creating it, we're in it, we're doing it.
So these folks that are in the performance that you're doing over the next several days, they're really from all over the place. What are some of the countries people are coming from?
Okay, so I'm going to list out. We've got two Mayan people from Guatemala, Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Hong Kong, Canada. I know there's 12, I've got to get to it. Mexico,
States.
Yes, First Nations of the U.S., including Seneca, Creek, Lakota, Anishinaabe, Apache, and Diné. And some of the people are coming in through Canada, but their roots are in Mexico or Hong Kong.
Now, what kind of music draws it together?
Okay, you're going to love this. We actually have this amazing DJ who's with the Audio Pharmacy group from the Bay Area. They're internationally recognized, and they're also deeply committed to food justice. So the DJ, Tio, has been taking different songs that the dancers have brought in from their backgrounds, and he's going to live DJ this soundscape with word samples that have either been provided by the dancers or our community about any issue like such as fast food or seeds and nature sounds. So he's creating this live soundscape as we dance.
I love the idea of audio pharmacy.
I think I haven't spoken to them personally about that name, but I always see it as, they see the music as healing. It's a native-led band, and they're actually going to be performing on August 21st, Friday night. They're the headliners for the One World Beat Festival up at Camel Rock Casino, and we're going to do some dances with it. There'll be an aerial act that'll happen, and so we're going to support them also with some dances on stage with them.
We're talking to Rulan Tangen about Dancing Earth. Now, for you as a choreographer, for you as an artist, bringing this all together is quite a, just an artistic feat of putting together all these different people and traditions and ways of moving and ways of thinking into one thing.
For this one, I really see it as a certain form of collaborative leadership, in that I'm not imposing dance steps onto them. I might coach or shape it, but really people are working from their instincts. So we did training, like I led the trainings in the morning, usually outdoors, out in canyons and deserts and waterfalls, to help sort of incite that intuition of the body, and then allow that to shape their movements so they would be creating their own movements, and then shape it back into the greater whole. So it's sort of like tuning everyone into the bigger vision, but allowing their diversity and their individuality to shine.
There are some people who make films not by writing a script, but by getting the people together and improvising, and the script springs from that.
I think that's what happened here.
So yeah. Dancing in canyons and dancing outdoors, how does that work? Breaking your ankle and stuff like that.
Again, we're looking at indigenizing our practice. So for the first couple of days, all of our work was outdoors. So these people from different places could... the first thing we did is we went to the Poe Cultural Center, and we were given cultural sanction, in other words, permission from Pueblo people of the Powake Pueblo and Roxanne Swensel, who, as you know, is a great artist and the leader of the Pueblo food experience, because that's our proper cultural protocol for anyone coming to this land, to ask for permissions from Pueblo people to bring our dances and songs and ourselves to this land. Once that was completed through gift-giving and food-sharing and all falling in love with each other, then we did head up to a high ground where we could see. And yes, you learn a different way of moving when you have to move on cactus. Some of the ways that we're used to moving, like spinning and sliding and falling and rolling, we learned a new way of moving. And then I wanted to translate that into indoor spaces and still retain that hyper-awareness that you have when you're surrounded by the sound of silence, when you're surrounded by the ability to hear the tiniest, the movement of cricket wings, when your eyes are taking in cloud formations. So we want to, in that sense, bring the outdoors inside, and or use that same awareness to reflect an unconventional space. So we are doing a lot of performances in unconventional spaces so that we can, build that awareness and connection with people.
What do you mean by unconventional spaces?
Oh my goodness. Well, we, I think as a group, we felt it important to bring the blessing of our gifts to many spaces. So not only the people who are buying tickets for a performance, but to people who don't maybe ever think of going to a performance, to people who don't have access to that. As you know, arts in schools is more and more limited, so there's a lot of people that don't see theater on a regular basis. So as a gift and a blessing to our community, we've been showing up in spaces and just, I would call it an improvisation of
like
a dance
street performance?
Yes, street performance, street theater. We've also called them flash dances. And just sort of igniting and animating the space, and very briefly, like passing through, and then gone, to remind people of the joy and the importance of dance and theater being a part of lives. I remember when I was a young teenage ballet dancer, and going to Paris, going to New York, and seeing like the breakdancers in the streets in New York, and then in Paris in front of the Pompidou Center, like it was a whole circus of performance. And I was like, this is what city life should be, you know, like these surprise encounters. Or I remember I was at a market, Marché aux Puces in Paris, and seeing these, you know, beautiful musicians and dancers coming through. And I was totally inspired by that. And, you know, in an indigenous context, it's also the idea of whether contemporary or traditional, our dances are here to renew the land, to bring the rain, to bring the crops up, to create connections with people, with community. And it does take people by surprise. You know, we're not used to that here. It is very difficult to get permissions to do these kind of things. So we would just do things quickly and then get out. And it's all with good intention and, you know, hopefully to build good energy with our community.
And very tricky in a place where the arts are less and less a part of American life. And when they are, they happen inside of boxes, not on the street, integrated with our daily life.
And instead of complaining about that very harsh reality, we are just really taking a stand and saying, we're not accepting that this is the truth, because in our indigenous way, what you project and think and say is the reality. So we're subverting that reality, and we are opening up the box, putting dance like wildflower seed, just like tossing it everywhere. And it's not predictable. People can't say, oh, well, where are you going to be for your flash dance on Thursday? Like, it's going to happen where it happens. It's maybe we'll get chased out of one space and it'll reappear in the other.
And again, in a way, it's like nature, in the sense that when you go out walking deep in the mountains, you don't know what you're going to encounter, and you can't plan for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that idea of everyone becoming aware. So if you suddenly hear a song while you're at the supermarket coming from around the corner, it may be us.
So you are doing all sorts of things over the next few days. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday you'll be performing. I think the Sunday event is sold out, but tell us what's going on.
Oh, you know, we're taking over the Skylight space. So it's just this new restaurant, club, theater place with a big courtyard. And it's got two levels. It's got this natural light that comes through. And we're going to take that over with, you know, these plant movements just winding through from every corner of the space. Every seat in the house will have a different show. Like, you might be sitting here, and then there's someone slithering in the aisle right next to you that nobody else sees but you. So that's what's happening at the Skylight. That's our official debut and sharing of this work. But in a way, we've been sharing it with the canyons and with the streets all of these weeks. And I do think it's sold out. It's a rather small seating.
That's Sunday.
Sunday night at the Skylight.
Afternoon, yeah.
In the evening. But prior to that, on Friday and Saturday, we're going to be at the One World Beat Festival. And I'm so excited about this. I don't know if anyone remembers the old Native Roots and Rhythms at the Paolo Solari, but it used to be during Indian Market. And it was this great thing to experience, because not everyone can afford, you know, to get these beautiful, you know, high-end artwork pieces at the market. But people could come and have this experience with the top Native musicians and top Native dancers anywhere. And I think for quite a number of years, we sort of haven't had that opportunity, but now it's sort of regenerating up at the Camel Rock Casino. And it's got a great lineup. I mean, I had mentioned Audio Pharmacy coming in from the Bay Area, but we also have our local favorites, Robert Mirabal, and the Hemez dancers. We've got hoop dancers that are coming in, and we're going to be a part of that. We'll have a chunk on the 23rd that we'll do, and then we're also going to sort of jump in on the Audio Pharmacy set on the 22nd.
And so that's Friday and Saturday, both times at the Camel Rock Casino.
Yes, and it's a long festival. Like, you could come early, you could stay late, or just come in for part of it. It's truly a festival, just a great big lineup and a lot of fun and a lot of dancing and, you know, just experiencing. I think it's great for young people. I mean, I hear all the teachers and politicians saying, oh, we need more things for young people. So here it is.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And after that, all the dancers go back home to where they come from?
Oh, I don't even want to think about that. It's so, you know, empowering to have everybody around. And I think it's going to be, you know, hard for people to go back and sort of be doing their solo work on their own in their own countries. But, you know, everyone really made space in their lives to come together for this important theme and to gift this to Santa Fe.
It's about time to go, but before we go, I also want to mention that yesterday on the Radio Cafe, we talked about Native American film, and you are in this movie, Drunk Town's Finest.
Yeah.
And as I was previewing it, you have a role as one of the main characters' mother, I think, and the door opened and you came out. And I thought, no, we know her.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know that I think I was quite transformed for the part, shall we say.
Yeah, you were not in good shape. You would not look at this character who was pretty mentally and physically worn down and say, this is one of New Mexico's premier dancers.
Let's call it good acting technique, shall
Yay,
we?
Let's call it that. Rulon Tangen is the founding director and choreographer of Dancing Earth. The long name is Dancing Earth Indigenous Contemporary Dance Creations. And for more information, you can go to dancingearth.org. And all the information about what we've talked about will be on there. We want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.